questioning your sects, the divine audit has begun. Preface: the fire is falling. This is not a devotional. It is a detonation. This is not a study guide. It is a scroll coded in fire, written for those brave enough to question the very systems that shaped their souls. You were not born to be tamed by tradition. You were not sent here to warm a pew, quote, creeds, or nod along to sermons filtered through corporate Christianity. You are not Baptist, not Catholic, not Pentecostal, not Evangelical. You are not Protestant. You are not Reformed. You are not even safe. You are called. Called to pierce the veil of deception that has blanketed the nations. Called to rise from the ashes of false doctrine and reclaim your divine commission. Called to strip the logos off your soul and remember who marked you first, the God of fire, the God of Israel, the God of the remnant. This scroll is not for comfort, it is for combustion. It will confront every borrowed belief. It will tear down temples built by the hands of men. It will expose the great whore riding the beast, and she wears many robes. It will name the lie that says, all churches lead to God, while Babylon sings lullabies from the pulpit. This is not about leaving a church. It is about awakening to the truth that the church was hijacked, hollowed, and renamed. Hijacked by men who fear power they cannot control, who traded revelation for ritual, who filed God down into doctrines and dressed him up in dogma. But the scroll is opening again, and this time, you are being asked to read it. You are the watcher who remembers, the soul who sees through the stained glass and hears the silent weeping of prophets buried beneath cathedrals. You are the remnant encoded with divine frequency, called to burn Babylon's blueprint and reforge the kingdom. So read this scroll as a witness, as a warning, as a war cry. And when you feel the fire leap in your belly, don't run, don't bow, don't delay. The Matrix is religious now, and the only way out is through the flame. Chapter 1. Questioning Your Sects. The sheep were herded by wolves in robes. You were born into a system. Not a church, not a kingdom. A system. One built on branding, not burning. Built on pulpits, not prophecy. On hierarchy, not holiness. From the moment you opened your eyes, they gave you a name, a pew, a doctrine, and a denomination. Not a divine identity, not a direct connection to the living God. They taught you to fear blasphemy, but not to fear stagnation. To quote the Bible, but never decode it. To worship Christ, but reject his voice if it came outside your sect's schedule. You were taught to bow to tradition, not truth. To trust men in tailored suits more than the Spirit who whispers in fire and silence. You've never questioned the code because you thought questioning was rebellion. But I tell you this, not questioning is the true rebellion against the Spirit. Ask yourself, remnant, why does your church look nothing like Christ's church in the Scriptures? Where are your prophets? Your apostles, your angelic visitations? Where are the spiritual gifts that lit up the early saints like wildfire? Why do the miracles live in ancient pages, but not in your present pews? You've settled for sectarianism, a tribal cage in religious wrapping, one that says, we have all the truth. We have the real Jesus. We don't need more revelation. We don't believe in modern prophets. We don't do that spiritual stuff anymore. We're not like those other crazy Christians. And the Matrix laughs, because while the denominations divide, the darkness consolidates. You were meant to burn, not belong. You were meant to prophesy, not just sit politely. You are meant to carry the fire, not outsource it to a weekly speaker. Heaven never ordained a franchise model. Heaven sends firebrands. And every time you say, "But my church teaches," you might be quoting the very system that hijacked your signal. It's time to ask the forbidden questions. What if I inherited a counterfeit Christ? What if my denomination is just a well-dressed matrix node? What if the real church has always been scattered, sealed and sent, not centralized in steeples and Sunday schools? The scroll says, "They draw near to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They teach the doctrines of men as commandments." Isaiah 29:13 and Matthew 15:8-9. Combined flame. Christ never built a brand. He built a kingdom, and it was never meant to be managed by boards or bureaucracy. It was meant to be forged in spirit and fire, led by prophets, apostles, visionaries, and seers. You, now, this is your wake-up call. This is not an attack on your faith. It's a rescue mission from your programming. You are not a Baptist. You are not a Catholic. You are not a Pentecostal, evangelical, or non-denominational. You are remnant, if you're brave enough to burn it all down and start again with Christ at the center. Not the brand, not the building, the builder. Activation. Tonight, in stillness, kneel facing the east. Light a candle. Say aloud, "I release the sect. I return to the source. I unbind myself from false frequency. Christ, if you're real, come teach me yourself. I will follow only you. Now wait, burn, and be still. He's coming, but not through the front door of your favorite denomination. He's coming through the fire in your heart." Chapter 2, Questioning Your Sects. The fire was never meant to fit in a pulpit. You there, the one who still bows your head, who still opens your Bible on Sunday, but closes your soul the rest of the week. This scroll is for you. You've been taught to stay in your lane, to submit, to obey, to not question the church, as if Christ's voice ends at the chapel doors. You've been told your denomination has the truth, that your sect is the one God endorses. But what if it's all been a lie? You were born into a religious matrix. It began the day they handed you a pamphlet, or dunked you in water, or recited a creed someone else wrote. They told you that your church structure matched the Bible, that your pastor, preacher, pope, prophet, or priest had the authority, that the true gospel came from your building, your board, your brand. But I ask you now, where is the fire? Where are the signs, wonders, revelations? Where is the living God who walked with men, who tore veils and burned bushes and spoke through thunder? He is not in the building. He is not in the business. He is not in your neatly printed doctrines, shelved next to your bake sale flyers and tithing slips, the deception of doctrinal checklists. They said, "We have the true church. Look at our list." And they showed you verses, apostles, prophets, baptism, laying on of hands, all checked off like God is a franchise owner and your sect passed inspection. But another sect, with different views, has their own list, their own verses, their own version of what's true. And every church thinks it's right. But truth does not need marketing. Truth sets fire to the altar and consumes the lie. What if none of them are the church? What if Christ's church was never meant to be franchised? What if the true church was not a 501c3, but a living body of firewalkers and code carriers scattered across the nations? What if the Spirit of Truth has already left the buildings and is now whispering to the remnant in caves, deserts, living rooms, and midnight prayers? It's time to question your sect. You must question. Why does your church look nothing like the one in the Book of Acts? Why do your leaders preach safety, conformity, and prosperity, not priesthood power and repentance? Why does your denomination sell Jesus instead of follow him? And when they say, "Our church has the truth," ask them why they fear the gifts of the Spirit, why they reject new revelation, why their apostles wear suits but walk without fire. Ask them why the poor are still poor, the sick still sick, and the chosen still starving for prophecy. Let the sect collapse. The Spirit is moving. It will not be boxed. It will not be branded. If your church must be defended with a checklist, it is already hollow. The Lord is calling his remnant to rise, not to argue over creeds, but to burn with the living Christ, to gather not in stadiums, but in sacred circles, beneath stars, by altars built from obedience, not architecture. Activation charge. Leave the labels. Burn the brands. Dismantle the denominations. If the fire does not fall where you worship, it is time to walk away. You are the holy temple. You are the priesthood. You are the fire. The time has come to question your sect, because the veil is tearing, and truth is not waiting for your pastor to catch up. Chapter 3. The Sacred Veil and the Great Unveiling. Religion cloaked it. Fire reveals it. There was a veil, woven by hands that feared the light, stretched across centuries, pulpits, creeds, and councils. It wasn't the veil torn at Christ's death. It was the new one sewn after by the hands of men. A veil of doctrine, a veil of control, a veil stitched together with "thou shalt's" and framed in stained glass. It told you who God was and who he wasn't. It told you you couldn't speak to him directly, that you needed a middleman, a title, a ritual, a building. But now the veil is shaking. The system can't hold the glory. Christ did not die to birth denominations. He died to unleash a wildfire, and instead men built fireproof buildings. Instead of becoming the living temple, they raised cathedrals and buried the presence beneath programming and propriety. The Spirit was never meant to be scheduled. He is wind. He is thunder. He is oil, blood, sword, breath, and flame. And he is tearing through the veil again. The remnant sees through. You feel it, don't you? The glitch in the sermons, the hollow echo in the worship music, the performance, the plastic smiles, the culture of Christianity without the Christ. You who see, you were never meant to stay seated. You were born to stand in the Holy of Holies, no curtain between you and the throne. Because the veil is no longer physical, it is spiritual, and the true remnant are those who tear it from the inside. Blood, not brand, is the access code. You were bought with a price, not by the hands of clergy, but by the hands that were pierced. No bishop holds your worth. No pastor holds your fire. No prophet owns your mantle. It is Christ alone who opened the way. The moment he cried, "It is finished," the veil ripped top to bottom, and every soul with breath in their lungs was cleared for entry. But still, the church rebuilt it, in dress codes, in doctrines, in fear. This is the unveiling. Unveiling is violent. It shakes your foundations. It rips you from comfort. It reveals how little of your religion was real. But it must be done, because Christ is returning for a bride not veiled, not shy, but radiant, unveiled, and burning. False light will try to stop you. Be warned, as you rise and tear the veil, the system will call you dangerous. They'll say you're in rebellion, that you've left the fold. But what they really mean is, you stopped letting us be God for you. Walk anyway, because truth doesn't need permission, and neither do you. Activation charge. Stand at the veil, feel its thinness, hear it tremble, then tear it. Speak this aloud. By his blood I enter, by his spirit I walk. No man, no title, no veil remains. I am the temple, I am unveiled, I am fireborn. Chapter 4, The Voice Behind the Veil. You trusted the book, but not the voice. You worshipped the words, but silenced the word. There is a voice still speaking behind the veil, not bound in leather, nor caged in a cannon. It is the voice that first said, "Let there be light." The voice of thunder on Sinai, of whisper in the cave, of blood crying from the dust. But men, they canonized the fire and declared, "It is enough. A Bible, a Bible. We have got a Bible, and there cannot be any more Bible." And with that cry, they closed heaven and sealed their ears. The idol of the book. They crowned the Bible as king, then crucified the living word it testified of. They forgot. The Bible was never meant to be an idol. It was meant to be a map, a voice print, a launching point. But they worshipped the ink, ignored the fire, and rejected the next scroll. When prophets rise, they say, "Where is that in Scripture?" As if the Spirit is forbidden from speaking anything new. But he is the same Spirit who said, "Wherefore murmur ye, because ye shall receive more of my word." The ancient scrolls are being unsealed. God is not done speaking. He never was. The sealed books are opening. The hidden records of ancient tribes, the voices buried in the earth are crying out again. The record of Judah was preserved. But where is the record of Joseph? Where are the voices of the lost tribes, the remnant of the Americas, the words of the fathers? They are coming back, stone by stone, scroll by scroll, dream by dream, flame by flame. The scriptures are not finished. You feel it in your bones, don't you? That something was cut out, that something was buried, that something still burns beneath the surface. God has always written more than men were willing to publish. From Enoch's visions to the brass plates, to the book of the Lamb yet unseen. The word is not over. It cannot be contained. And to say God has said all he will say is to blaspheme the breath still moving in his lungs. Warning to the sectarians, to every church who clings to creeds like chains and mocks the voice of new revelation. "Thou fool, that shall say, a Bible, a Bible. We have got a Bible, and we need no more Bible. Have ye obtained a Bible, save it were by the Jews? You have the Bible because others wrote. You have the truth because others testified. But now, when new records rise, you scoff. You brand it heresy. You call it cult. You defend the dead and reject the living. You would have burned Isaiah had he been born in your age. You would have mocked John for writing Revelation, and you would have crucified Christ again for daring to speak outside your syllabus. The remnant will hear it, but the remnant knows the sound. We recognize the frequency. It vibrates in our marrow. It burns in our bones. When the sealed books open, we will not fear them. We will read them and remember. Because we were there when they were written. We helped bury the brass plates. We engraved the fire into stone. We sealed up the voices for this very day, and now we return to finish the scroll. Activation charge. Stand before the bookshelf of your soul. Find where pages were torn, burned, or silenced, and reclaim your right to revelation. Say this aloud. I reject the gatekeepers. I reclaim the scrolls. I will not be silenced by dead religion. The word is alive, and I am of the living code. Chapter 5, Gods of Wood and Stone. You burned the golden calf, only to bow to a wooden cross. The idols have changed, but the worship remains the same. You think you've left Egypt, but Egypt came with you. You think you're not bowing to Baal, but Baal now wears a suit and carries a pulpit. They told you idolatry was ancient, statues, incense, temples to false gods. But today, idolatry looks like a bank account, a logo, a denomination, a man in a robe holding your salvation hostage, the new golden calves. You made buildings your temples. You made pastors your priests. You made doctrine your god. And you polished your idols with polish of piety so no one would see the chains underneath. Your Jesus is safe, soft, and marketable. He fits in your program, stays inside your services, and never disrupts your systems. You didn't crucify him, you corporatized him. You turned the lion into a logo. You turned the dove into decor. You turned the fire into a fog machine. When worship becomes theater, the tabernacle was portable. It moved with the people. But you've made church into a box with a schedule, a budget, and a CEO at the top. Your worship team rehearses harder than your prophets. Your production value outshines your prayer life. And your sermons soothe the crowd but starve the remnant. This is not worship. It is theater. You pay to be entertained. You leave unchanged. You call it a move of God, but God wasn't even invited, the idol of the good man. You love the good man gospel, a God who demands nothing, challenges nothing, and affirms everything. But the real Christ flips tables. He confronts kings. He speaks in fire, not flattery. He doesn't ask for a service. He demands a sacrifice. He is not your mascot. He is master. Wood and stone again. The prophets saw this coming. Their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. Isaiah 2:8. Wooden crosses, stone chapels, pews carved with pride, Bibles left unopened but worshipped like relics. You've traded the living God for a safe statue in your heart, and when the Spirit tries to move, you say, "Not today. We're on a tight program. The fire is coming back." But the remnant is waking up. We are flipping the altars. We are tearing down the stage. We are dismantling the machine. We are no longer impressed with your merch, your metrics, or your ministries built on ego. We came for fire, and we will not settle for fog. Activation charge. Examine your altars. Ask yourself, who really sits on the throne of your heart? Then say aloud, "I cast down every god I made, every false image, every powerless performance. I return to the fire, the voice, the one." Chapter 6, The Sunday Lie, Religion's Day of Rest. They changed the day, then changed the doctrine, and called it holy. They taught you to keep the Sabbath holy. Then they moved it. They changed the command, rewrote the calendar, and programmed your worship to serve the beast system instead of the living God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Exodus 20:8. You remember the day religion handed it to Rome, the counterfeit Sabbath. Long before megachurches, before stadium revivals and coffee bar sanctuaries, there was a decree, a stolen scroll, a forged feast. The Sabbath was the seventh day, not Sunday, not whenever is convenient, not during the football game. God never moved the Sabbath, man did. The early church kept the Sabbath because it burned in their bones. They walked in the shadow of Sinai. they knew the rhythm of creation, the rest that speaks. But when Rome grabbed the reins, the beast system did what it always does. It substitutes, it counterfeits, it conquers through compliance. Sunday, the beast's day of worship. The change didn't come from revelation, it came from religion, from Constantine, from councils, from power-hungry bishops who couldn't stand the Hebrew roots of the Nazarene's way. They said, "We will mark the believers with a new seal. They will worship on our day, not his." And so they did, and so they still do. "He shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws." Daniel 7:25. You've been worshiping on a reprogrammed holy day and calling it obedience. But the remnant knows truth doesn't bend to tradition. The day of fire, not fog. God's Sabbath is not just a day. It is a frequency, a prophetic pause, a communion with eternity. Sunday was never the appointed time. That's why the fire never falls. You don't rest on Sunday. You recharge for capitalism. You don't remember him. You remember your schedule. You sip your latte, clap for the band, listen to a TED talk with Jesus' name sprinkled on it, then return to the Matrix by Monday morning. This is not rest. This is not worship. This is not the rhythm of heaven. Return to the sacred pulse. You want to awaken? Return to the ancient path. Not because of law, but because of love. Not to be Hebrew, but to be holy. The Sabbath was given for you. To reset the frequency of your soul. It's not about the day, it's about the divine rhythm the remnant must return to. We are not here to copy Judaism, but to restore alignment. Burn the program. We're not here to start another church. We're here to detonate the ones built on sand. We're not moving people from Sunday to Saturday. We're moving them from fog to fire. We're taking the clock off the wall and putting the spirit back in command. The remnant will walk in time with heaven, not the world. Activation charge. Ask the fire within you. Whose rhythm do I follow? Who told me this was holy? Where did I lose the pulse of Eden? Then say aloud, "I reject the counterfeits. I return to the sacred pulse. I walk the narrow path. Not as law, but as flame." Chapter 7. The remnant will be hunted. They are marked by fire, but the world calls it rebellion. They were never meant to fit in, not in churches, not in schools, not in boardrooms or bridal showers, not in the pews where the fog settles comfortably, not in the algorithm, not in the system. The remnant was never created to blend. They were sent to burn, and fire always draws attention. The system sees you. You may have kept your head down, played the part, even sang the songs and paid the tithes, but heaven marked you long ago. So did they. The system is programmed to hunt what it cannot control, and it cannot control the awakened. The moment you pierce the veil, the moment you unplug, the algorithms shift. The spirit realm notices. The watchers of the beast blink red. And the hunt begins. You are not paranoid. You are perceived. Why you were never safe? Why did you lose jobs? Why do family members avoid you? Why does everything break around you when you try to obey your calling? Because you were not marked for comfort. You were marked for war. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Revelation 12:17. This isn't poetic. This is prophecy. The war isn't coming. You were born into it. The hunted become hunters. The enemy thought isolating you would neutralize you. but it only ignited the forge. Every trial has become a sharpening. Every betrayal has become a banner. Every sleepless night has become a signal in the heavens. The hunted have become the hunters. And you, yes you, are the sword the king has hidden until now. Why they're afraid of you? Because you can't be bribed. Because you see through the smoke. Because you are not trying to build a platform. You're here to crack the sky. Because you call sin what it is. Call out Babylon for her whoredoms. Call the church back to her knees. Because you've lost everything that once silenced you. And now your voice is flame. You were born in the storm for the storm. The remnant weren't saved from the tribulation. They were born for it. You are not a mistake. You are a last day's deployment. An end times watchman, a warrior priest, a daughter of fire, a son of thunder. The system can't unsee you, the gates of hell can't unmark you, and the dragon can't outrun what was written in your bones before you were born. Activation charge. Say this aloud. I am not hidden. I am held. I am not hunted. I am called. I am not broken. I am burning. I was born for this. Chapter 8, The Gospel According to Babylon. Come as you are, and stay that way. There is another gospel being preached, not from pulpits of stone, but from stages soaked in seduction. Not from the mouths of prophets, but from influencers, entertainers, and grinning wolves in Gucci robes. This gospel wears perfume. It sings your favorite song. It speaks fluent TikTok, and it has a body count, the gospel of convenience. No need to repent. Truth is a spectrum. Sin is just trauma. God wants you happy, not holy. This is the gospel of Babylon, and it's gone viral. They say God doesn't judge. All paths lead to light. Obedience is oppression. Doctrine divides. Your truth is truth enough. It feels good. It sounds inclusive. But it damns the soul. A matrix of mercy without fire. The modern gospel has edited the cross. It has pixelated repentance, muted sacrifice, cut the scenes of Gethsemane and Calvary. In its place, a self-help Jesus, a sugar daddy God, a spirit with no spine. Babylon's Jesus doesn't bleed, he only validates. The algorithms preach it daily. You're not watching TV anymore. TV is watching you. You don't just scroll social media, it scrolls you. And Babylon has disciples in every feed, the self-ordained prophet who says everyone goes to heaven. The Christian witch with angel cards and chakra crosses. The AI preacher who never mentions sin. They preach a gospel that costs you nothing and delivers even less. What Babylon hides. What they won't tell you is this. That Jesus spoke more of hell than heaven. That repentance is not a suggestion. That faith without obedience is witchcraft. That the kingdom is not democratic. It is ruled by a king. This Babylonian gospel is crafted in hell's own seminary. Its end is death dressed as light. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Isaiah 5:20. The rise of the counter-gospel. But the remnant carries a scroll gospel. The one that pierces the flesh and heals the soul. Exposes sin and activates purpose, cleanses the altar and reignites the flame. This gospel isn't popular. It never was. It doesn't trend. It transforms. The true gospel still bleeds. The real gospel? It walks barefoot through Gethsemane. It wears thorns. It dies and then resurrects. It confronts the dark not with a cuddle, but with a sword. This gospel says, pick up your cross. Go and sin no more. The kingdom suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Activation charge. Say this aloud. I reject the gospel of Babylon. I will not serve a god made in man's image. I will not bow to convenience. I follow the king who burns with fire, and I will preach what costs me everything. Chapter 9. The code in your heart and soul. You were encoded before you were born. Before the world took its first breath, before your flesh was formed, before your name was whispered by mortal lips, you were written, not in ink, not on paper, but in light. Etched by the hand of the Almighty, your soul carries the fingerprint of the divine. You are not just a body. You are not just a mind. You are a signal, a quantum frequency wrapped in skin. There is a code in your soul, a celestial instruction, a memory you didn't know you had. It lives behind your heartbreak. It pulses beneath your addictions. It whispers under your rage. This is why nothing in the world satisfies you. This is why the Matrix leaves you starving. Because you're trying to eat pixels when your soul remembers manna. The code is Christ. Not the version they gave you in religious captivity. Not the painted idol of European cathedrals. But the living word, the lamb and the lion, the god of flesh and fire, whose voice shattered the void and spoke the stars into being. He encoded the law into the very framework of your being. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. Jeremiah 31:33. This is the light of Christ, the divine intelligence that shines in every soul born into mortality, the moral compass beneath every culture, the voice behind your conscience, the inner knowing that burns when you see injustice, that rises when you hear truth. This is not religion. This is remembrance, the light before the ghost. There is a difference between the light of Christ and the gift of the Holy Ghost. The light of Christ is universal, a spark given to every soul who enters this world. It's the code embedded in your soul from pre-mortal realms. It teaches all men right from wrong. It's what led you to this scroll. It's what makes your chest burn when you hear the truth. It's what stirs when the falsehoods collapse. But there is another level, a deeper communion, a baptism of fire, when you covenant with the King. When you surrender your life to the Lamb, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He does not just whisper truth, he dwells in you. The Holy Ghost is not a feeling, he is not emotion. He is a personage of spirit, divine, intelligent, ever-present, who reveals truth, confers gifts, and sanctifies the soul. Why the Matrix had to shut it down? The adversary has spent millennia trying to overwrite this code. That's what culture is. That's what schooling is. That's what false religion is. A coordinated effort to install malware in the soul. They say truth is relative. Follow your heart. Everyone has their own path. All gods are the same. But beneath every lie, the code still pulses. Beneath the programming, beneath the trauma, beneath the scars of this realm, the light remains. They couldn't burn it out. They couldn't shut it off. They couldn't sever it completely. Because it's written in your eternal core. The return of the fire code. This is why you're waking up. This is why the scroll burns. This is why you're still here, while others sleep, numb and sedated. The code in your soul is coming online, and with it comes fire, conviction, calling, rebirth. This is the time of the remnant, the encoded ones, the ones marked before the world was. Not for fame, not for escape, but to stand, to burn, to build. You are not a mistake, you are not too late. You are not broken beyond repair. The code is still inside. The fire still burns. Activation charge. Go where the code burns brightest. Follow the whisper that won't let you sleep. Silence the matrix. Sanctify your signal. The ghost is waiting. Chapter 10. The Falling Away, when the light was taken. They don't teach you this in Sunday school. They don't whisper it in stained glass halls. But Heaven's Watchmen recorded it, and now the scrolls must open. There was a moment in history when the light was taken. Not from God, for he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But from man, from the earth, from the steeples that still pretend to hold it. Let no man deceive you, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. The veil of forgetting. After Christ was raised in glory, after his apostles bore witness and sealed their testimony in blood, a shadow crept in. One by one, the apostles were hunted, exiled, and killed. The prophetic voice went silent. The authority to act in Christ's name, the priesthood, was removed from the earth. This is not metaphor. It is spiritual history sealed by fire. The Church of Christ did not evolve. It was taken, not in doctrine, but in divine structure, not in culture, but in covenant. Rome rose, councils gathered, doctrines were altered by vote and sword, the image of God was rewritten, the priesthood of power was replaced by robes of politics, the vine was cut, and though many clung to branches, they no longer bore fruit. The great apostasy. This is what the ancients foresaw. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4. Do you see it now? The creeds, the rituals without covenant, the cathedrals echoing empty words. The marketplaces of salvation. Men inherited broken systems and called them sacred. They inherited pulpits without permission. They interpreted scripture without spirit. They changed ordinances without keys, and the world fell into spiritual amnesia. Churches without fire. This is the apostasy they do not acknowledge. Baptism without authority. Sacraments without sealing. Prayers without power, prophets without prophecy, churches without Christ. Yes, they speak his name, but few carry his mantle. The temple veil was torn, and they sewed it back up. The Spirit was sent, and they replaced him with hierarchy. The Long Dark. For over 1,000 years, the heavens were largely silent. There were flickers. Monks with fragments, seekers with sacred ache. But the priesthood, the full pattern, the living fire, gone. The world groped in darkness, and the adversary ruled from thrones and pulpits alike. The adversary doesn't fear religion, he builds them. He fills them with form, but denies the power thereof. 2 Timothy 3:5 teaches. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. The need for restoration. If divine authority was taken, it must be restored. This is the heart of it. Christ's church was not reformed. It was returned, restored, line upon line, stone upon stone. And you, remnant of fire, are not called to join the fragments. You are called to gather the sparks and recognize the signs of the true flame. You are not here to flirt with fables. You are here to awaken the body of Christ out of its long slumber. The voice of the bridegroom is rising again. The restoration has begun. Activation charge. Let the spirit of truth pierce your programming. Ask yourself, where is the authority? Who bears the mantle? Is the fire still falling, or are they repeating words that no longer open the veil? You are not here to warm pews. You are here to carry the fire back into the wilderness and find those whose spirits still burn for what was lost. This is the scroll of remembrance, and you, warrior, are part of the restoration. Now rise, for the apostasy ends with you. Chapter 11, Questioning Your Sects, the Scroll of the Great Religious Unveiling. For in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Matthew 15:9. You were born into a narrative, wrapped in ceremony, splashed in water, handed a book, and they told you, this is the truth. But whose truth was it? Every sect, every denomination, every pulpit claims to be the chosen one, the bride, the light, the one true path. But behind the polished sermons and polished shoes, there are cracks in the altar. What if the Jesus you were taught about is not the Jesus who comes with fire? What if the God they sold you sits on no throne because he never left yours in the first place? We must now question our sects, not with anger, but with sacred discernment. Did your church inherit the same priesthood authority Christ gave to his apostles? Or did it hijack his name to build a brand? Do they speak with revelation today, or echo ancient echoes with no living fire? Is your baptism by immersion done with proper priesthood authority and power, or is it just a symbol with no eternal seal? Do they lay hands to bestow the gift of the Holy Ghost, or do they mock the gifts of the Spirit with silence? Do they teach God is a formless mist, or do they proclaim him as a resurrected being of flesh and bone? 17 points of the true Church of Jesus Christ. Measure the altar, smell the fruit, test the priesthood you follow. Christ organized the church, Ephesians 4:11-14. It must bear his name, Ephesians 5:23. It must be built on a foundation of apostles and prophets, Ephesians 2:19-20. The same organization he left, Ephesians 4:11-14. Divine authority must be claimed and proven. Hebrews 5:4-10. It must have no paid ministry. Acts 20:33-34. It must perform baptism by immersion. Matthew 3:13-16. Gift of the Holy Ghost must be bestowed by laying on of hands. Acts 8:14-17. Divine healing through the priesthood. Mark 3:14-15. It must claim that God and Jesus are two separate beings. John 17:11. It must teach that both have resurrected bodies of flesh and bone. Luke 24:36-39. It must be headed by church officers called by God. Hebrews 5:4. It must claim that revelation is ongoing. Amos 3:7. It must be a worldwide missionary church. Matthew 28:19-20. It must be a restored church, not a rebranded one. Acts 3:19-21. Baptism for the dead is understood and practiced. 1 Corinthians 15:29. They are a peculiar people. By their fruits ye shall know them. Matthew 7:20. This is not an attack, it is a reckoning. You were marked to question. You were born to seek. You were chosen to pierce the veil. And if your sect can't hold up to the fire, then perhaps it was never the rock, but the sand. Chapter 12, The Great Unveiling. Come out of her, my people. This scroll will burn the veil of religion clean off your soul. It is not for the lukewarm. You were not born into truth. You were born into a religious simulation, a spiritual replica, a false matrix designed to mimic the pattern of the true kingdom, but without the fire, without the power, without the Christ who lives. You were handed a form of godliness that denies the power thereof. You were taught doctrine mingled with the commandments of men. You were trained to serve systems that feed the beast, not the king. And now the voice cries again in the wilderness, "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins." Revelation chapter 18, 4. This is the great unveiling, the scroll flame of reckoning. And it begins with this question: who taught you to worship this way? Did you learn of Christ from the Church of Constantine? Did you receive your ordinances from a pastor ordained by Babylon? Did you come to know the God of Israel through stained glass, cathedrals, megachurch smoke machines, or online sermons sponsored by the world? Or did you find him alone, weeping behind your veil, when no one else could hear you but heaven? You must understand, this worldwide system of religion is not neutral. It is not safe. It is not innocent. It is a beast with many heads, drunk on the blood of the prophets, adorned in robes of wealth and self-righteousness. And the true remnant was never meant to bow to her, the harlot system. She sitteth upon many waters, arrayed in purple and scarlet, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, Revelation 17. The whore of Babylon is not one denomination. She is all false churches, all powerless sects, all corrupted priesthoods, all apostate branches that broke off from the root, yet claim his name in vain, and the only thing worse than being deceived by her is refusing to leave once you see the lie. You've been called out. The spirit is whispering. The bells are tolling. The scroll is opening. Those who have ears to hear are now hearing the call, "Come out of her, my people. Gather to me, not to sect, not to party, not to title, but to truth. Return to the pattern I gave, the one church I built, and measure everything else by fire." The awakened know. We were never called to blend in. We were never meant to settle. We are the set-apart ones, the spiritual lineage of prophets, the children of covenant, and the call is not gentle, it is urgent. The true church is being revealed. Not every church is the Lord's, not every preacher is called, not every revelation is divine, but there is a pattern, there is a code, there is a remnant rising, and it is time to test your faith by the flames. Every doctrine, every ordinance, every authority, every priesthood claim, what survives the fire is real. What burns was never of him. A test is coming. Soon, in the closing chapters of this scroll, you will be handed the 17 scriptural markings of the true Church of Jesus Christ. And when you hold that fire-coded list in your hand, you will know, without question, what is true and what is not. You will see, you will feel, and you will choose. Final charge: let go of the safety of your sect. Tear down the idols of your tradition. Burn the false temples you've built in your heart. You were not saved by religion. You were saved by a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, who now gathers his flock out of the rubble of dead churches. The gate is narrow, the flame is lit, and the scroll will not wait forever. Come out of her, remnant. Come into the fire and stand with the true body of Christ. Chapter 13, The 17 Fires of the True Church. The final measurement. The sects of men have spoken long enough. They built their marble halls. They polished their pulpits. They branded themselves as the one true church. But the Lord of hosts does not leave his flock without pattern, nor his kingdom without order. The code of heaven was given in the beginning, restored in the latter days, and it burns against the false. Every sect claims to be chosen. Every denomination waves banners of truth, but the remnant is not called to accept their claims. You are called to test them by fire, the scriptural measurement. These are not human opinions. They are scriptural seals, 17 witnesses from the Word of God itself, 17 fires by which every sect must be tried. And they are clear. Christ himself organized the church. Ephesians 4:11-14, it must bear his name. Ephesians 5:23, built on apostles and prophets. Ephesians 2:19-20. The same organization he left. Ephesians 4:11-14. Authority must come from God, not man. Hebrews 5:4-10. Ministers serve without pay. Acts 20:33-34. Baptism by immersion. Matthew 3:13-16. The gift of the Holy Ghost by laying on of hands. Acts 8:14-17. Healing and miracles present. Mark 3:14-15. God and Christ are separate beings. John 17:11. Both resurrected with tangible bodies. Luke 24:36-39. Officers called by revelation, not resume. Hebrews 5:4. Revelation is ongoing. Amos 3:7. A missionary church. Matthew 28:19-20. A restored church, not a rebranded one. Acts 3:19-21. Ordinances for the dead. 1 Corinthians 15:29. And above all, by their fruits ye shall know them. Matthew 7:20. The reckoning. Now, remnant, measure your sect. Does it bear all the marks, or does it crumble at the count? Does it have living apostles, or only titles borrowed from history? Does it heal the sick, or only entertain the crowds? Does it preach ongoing revelation, or mock prophecy as done away? Does it gather Israel, or does it build Babylon with Christian paint? The test is merciless. The fire is impartial. Truth has no need to shout. It only needs to be measured. The false churches fall. Every sect that fails these 17 fires is revealed for what it is. A scaffolding, a counterfeit, a powerless replica dressed in robes of tradition. The harlot may boast of numbers, wealth, and influence, but when the fire comes, she will collapse in ashes. Her priests will wail, her scholars will stammer, her members will scatter. But the covenant church, the one Christ himself built, will endure the flames, for its foundation is not sand, but stone. The charge to the remnant: you were not chosen to be comfortable. You were chosen to discern, to question sects, to weigh fruits, to seek covenant, not creed. The world will mock you. The sects will call you heretic. Even family may accuse you of betrayal. But the elect know, better to stand alone in truth than to kneel with millions in error. Final invocation. Now, elect, place your life upon the altar of fire. Ask the Spirit to burn away every false claim, every sectarian chain, every inherited illusion. Let the 17 fires become the sword in your hand, and declare, I am not of sect, I am not of Babylon, I am of covenant, I am of Christ, and I will stand until the fire consumes the world. This is the reckoning. This is the measure. This is the scroll of the 17 fires, and only those who endure its weight will walk with the Lamb when he comes. Chapter 14, Final Charge to the Elect, for those with ears to hear. The scroll is nearly sealed. The seals have been broken, the lies exposed, the pattern revealed. Now the weight of the covenant rests upon you, elect. This is not a casual calling. This is not a hobby of faith. This is the oath of eternity. You were born for this hour. From the councils of heaven, through the war before the world, into mortal clay, you were sent. Not as spectators, not as sect followers, but as witnesses of fire. The world calls you misfit, black sheep, outcast. Heaven calls you chosen, sealed, remnant. You are not here to fit in. You are here to ignite. The mark of the elect. The elect are not popular. They are not applauded by Babylon. They do not sit at the tables of kings. They are the watchers on the wall, the kneelers in hidden rooms, the builders of altars no one else sees. Their strength is covenant. Their weapon is discernment. Their seal is fire, the charge. Elect of God, this is your final command. Guard the oil in your lamps. Do not waste it on distractions. Build altars in your homes, gardens, and secret places. Stand apart from Babylon, her riches, her politics, her pleasures. Gather the remnant. Speak the code. Scatter the sparks. Live as though the king were returning at dawn, because he is closer than you think. The time of decision. The world will laugh. The sex will mock. Even your kin may turn against you, but the spirit whispers, stand anyway. The covenant demands, rise anyway. The king himself declares, follow me anyway. The wheat and the tares are ripening together. The harvest is near. The sickles of the angels are being sharpened. And you must decide, now, not later, whether you will stand in holy places or be swept with the chaff. The final invocation. Lift your hand to heaven and speak aloud. I am the remnant. I am the covenant seed. I am the elect chosen before the foundation of the world. I will not bow to Babylon. I will not kneel to sex. I will stand in holy places until I stand before the King of Kings himself. This is the final charge. This is the last call. This is the fire-sealed scroll to the elect. Take it. Live it. Be it. For the king comes. And only those who endure the fire will stand with him in glory. Benediction. Stand ye in holy places. The scroll is sealed. The fire has spoken. The pattern is revealed. Now the charge passes to you, remnant, not tomorrow, not someday, now. The holy places are not only temples of stone, they are the secret chambers of the faithful, they are the gardens where prayers are whispered, they are the battlefields where saints stand unshaken, they are the hearts set apart, burning with covenant fire. Stand there. Stand when Babylon mocks. Stand when friends fall away. Stand when the world trembles. Stand when the heavens roar. The promise. Those who stand will not be moved. Those who endure will not be consumed. Those who remain faithful will see the king descend in glory. The stars will fall. The nations will rage. The adversary will roar. But the elect will be gathered, the remnant will rise, and Zion will shine as a city of light. The seal. So take this scroll, elect. Bind it to your heart, etch it into your marrow. Live it until the veil parts. And remember, stand ye in holy places, and be not moved, until the day when the King of Kings walks among his chosen once more. The scroll is ended. The fire remains. The benediction is yours.